Welcome through the Word to Psalm 52. The superscription tells us it's a maskil of David, written when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. It's a story of intrigue, of boastful self-importance, of a man spending the lives of others in order to promote his own wealth and status. We've heard it before. I'm reminded of the story of an English king, Henry VIII, and his henchmen lying and killing to get Henry the divorce that he so eagerly desired. What are we willing to risk in order to get what we want? We find the story behind this psalm in 1 Samuel 20-21. It's a devastating tale of injustice when a wicked man, Doeg, working for a wicked king, Saul, slandered a righteous man, David, who was fleeing for his life. Doeg not only maliciously exposed David and Ahimelech for the sake of promoting his personal reputation, but at Saul's command, willingly slayed an entire community of priestly families living at Nob. Only one young priest, Abiathar, escaped the slaughter and managed to find his way safely to David, whom he goes on to serve as priest. But it's important to see Psalms 50 to 52 as part of a literary cluster, modeling for us the right way and the wrong way to respond to God. In Psalm 50, Yahweh called all Israel into court to set before the nations serious charges of empty ritual in their worship and of utter wickedness as they walk with thieves and adulterers instead of in the Lord's ways. Yahweh warned Israel soberly of judgment, calling them to return to Him and be blameless. Psalm 51 and 52 followed closely on to show us what to do when we find ourselves caught up in wickedness. Surprisingly, in Psalm 51, it was King David who was the adulterer and murderer, in danger of capital punishment, with no sacrifice great enough to deal with his sin. The law declared no hope for him. But David was saved. Just as instructed in Psalm 50, David called upon the Lord in his day of trouble, offered God a broken and contrite spirit, and remarkably, the Lord delivered him just as he had said. But now we arrive at Psalm 52, a different kind of case study, this time of unrepented wickedness. Can God be trusted to keep his word in this situation as well? Verse 1. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? This verse is dripping with irony. David calls him a mighty hero, but not by God's definition of terms. According to God's judgment, this man is a disgrace. Yet twice, David asks, why do you boast? This man is blinded by his own arrogance and refuses to hear God's words of warning to the wicked. Verse 2. Your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Three times David personifies this man's tongue. It plots destruction, is like a sharpened razor. It is deceitful. Doeg loves evil. He loves harmful words, savoring them, as if they were costly delicacies, finding them sweeter because they lift up his status at the cost of others' lives. What will God do? Verse 5. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. David pictures God's judgment coming swiftly. God will bring you down, snatch you up, pluck you up, uproot you. God is pictured as a master gardener pulling up the weeds growing in his garden. This arrogant, malicious, self-important, evil man will be uprooted from God's creation, and just like a weed, will wither and die. Verse 6. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth, and grew strong by destroying others. Listen to the response of the righteous. First, they will see and fear. When God keeps his word and brings judgment, His name is exalted. People sit up straighter, listen up, and get their own lives right. Then, second, they will laugh. Does that sound harsh? Not when you've suffered at the hands of evil people who have refused offers of mercy. Even a schoolchild knows that when the principal steps in to stop the playground bully, that everyone else lets out a genuine laugh of relief. Verse 8, but I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. David has experienced mercy for his own sins of adultery and murder. But for those like Doeg, who refuse to be warned, who trust in their own wealth, and who grow strong by destroying others, God will keep his word. He will not allow the wicked to go on destroying his people and his world forever. Judgment will come, and Doeg will reap what he has sown. But for those who repent from wickedness, like David did, there is still time to flourish, to turn back, and to trust in God's unfailing love. Verse 9, for what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good. And so the psalm ends with relief and praise, that according to Yahweh's good name, he does forgive wickedness, transgression, and sin. And yet, for those who refuse to come to the Lord and receive his generous offer of mercy, the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. Ross King sang it well. The Lord is powerful, terrible. The Lord is wonderful, merciful. Jesus likewise warns us, it profits a man nothing to give his soul for the whole world, but for wealth, position, power, prestige? For what trifles do we risk our souls?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.